Weekly Dose of Fat for Friday, August 1st, 2014, show number 15. Fatbike.com, the world's number one resource for information on fat bike products, event and race coverage, interviews, and living the fat bike lifestyle, presents Fat Bike Radio with your hosts, Sven and Gomez.
Aloha, Earthlings. This is Uncle Gomez from the planet Gnometron. We're here in the studio with our co-host, Sven Hammer.
That's right, and with us for his powerful thorax and vast knowledge of beer is two-time River West 24 champion, Sir Colin Ford.
And the Fatbike.com Orchestra, directed today by the posh and fabulous Chris Dyson.
Hey, guys.
The sponsor of Fatbike Radio's weekly dose of fat that thoroughly bites.
This week's show is sponsored by Wednesday's older brother, Pugsley.
You can learn more about Pugsley, Mama, Uncle Fester, and Surly's entire line of smooth riding steel bikes and kick-ass wool clothing at SurlyBike.com.
Is it time for beer already after that wonderful intro?
Did someone say beer?
The beer.
Right on. This week's beer is New Glarus Brewing's Two Women. Colin can hip you all to what kind of beer it is. It just has two women on the front, which made it immediately appealing.
One, two, three, go.
Oh, the Michael is slow on the draw.
Slow. That's all right. That's why I don't talk. So this beer.
Hey, Mike's in the studio too, we, folks.
That's why I didn't get introduced.
Yeah. Hey. We got J.K. Livin' in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Cheers,
J.K.
He's
running just a little slow today.
He's still back at the intro.
Yeah.
What do we got here, Colin?
This beer is a German lager made with Weyermann malt. On the label here, they're toting that this beer is a collaboration between two companies that are owned by women. One of them being Weyermann Malt, one of them being New Glarus Brewing Company. Weyermann makes the best damn German malt there is. This is a traditional German lager. It should taste like, you know, a better version, a more authentic craft version, if you will, of what you're kind of used to drinking.
Like Beck's?
Well, more like Hofbräu.
Hofbräu. Oh, Hofbräu.
Maybe Beck's too. I mean, I haven't drank a Beck's in fucking maybe
but
ever.
Beck's is a Pilsner beer, right? Beck's and Heineken.
There's no reason to drink Beck's anymore. They make so many good beers here.
It's one of the, you can, it's good beer in a can, and it's big cans.
Yeah.
So,
just like Bitburger.
I'd go for the Bitburger. I go for some of the other German imports you can buy in cans, but I haven't messed with Beck's, man.
Well, let's
a dark beer.
Let's mess with it.
Let's go ahead and mess with these two women and see what they taste like.
I just like to go on record and tell everyone out there in Radio Land that Uncle Gomez likes two women.
It's good.
Good stuff.
It's real straightforward, man. Like you said, it's pretty simple.
Unlike women.
Let alone two of them.
Let alone two.
Yeah. All right. Next up on the Weekly Dose, we talked to Greg Mateus, who runs Fatback Bikes and who also, a lot of people don't know this, is King of the Wild Frontier.
Yeah, he took over for Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone's from dang old Kentucky. He's from Alaska.
The Wild Frontier is moving.
Yeah, it's going. It's gone north.
It's a moving target.
What do Heather Best, Kevin Breitenbach, and Jeff Oatley have in common? Well, they're all world record holders and champions of the Iditarod Trail Invitational. And they all chose Becker frame bags and hydration packs for their championship run. Becker gear is custom designed and purpose-built to fit your bike. Fat, skinny, and everything in between, Becker gear is the bag maker of champions.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio. listening to Brennan Gomez on Fat Bike Radio.
Please welcome to the show the man behind Fatback Bikes, Greg Mattis.
Aloha, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Yeah, good to have you here.
Yeah, we got JK Livin lurking around somewhere in the back of the studio for a bit of added color.
There he is. All right.
Excellent.
So, Greg, Single Speed Worlds just ended. Have you gotten sober yet, or are you still hungover? What's the story there?
It's over. I'm still going.
That's what
Single Speed Worlds in Alaska every day.
Shit, I don't know what happened. No, we had a great time up here. Such a fun group of people, and it was just a real privilege to be able to show them what we have. And we took them down to Kenai Peninsula, did some rides down there, showed them stuff on the hillside, new trails out of Kincaid. Mm-hmm. It was just a fantastic time.
Yeah, I've read nothing but great things about Anchorage's off-road trails. Flowy, fun, good stuff. So, I saw your Van Halen Corvus was at the Single Speed World Championships, rocking 29 plus wheels and the new Maxxis Chronicle tires. How do you like those Chronicles?
So far, so good. They hook up well, they corner well, they're fast rolling. I'd say my only observation, negative, is that they're a very square profile, so they have a bit of the self-steer of the fat tires at low pressures, even when they're firm. But, that's also very condition-specific. The harder the conditions, the more that shows up.
Right on.
But I think they're promising.
Yeah. Have you ridden them in the mud yet?
No mud, just dirt.
Yeah, me either. And that's my only knock on the only tire that we can really compare them to, the Surly Nard, is that the Nard, when things get muddy or slippery, coupled with that high bottom bracket and the whole tallness of that bike, makes for a pretty wild ride. So I'm hoping that all those multi-directional knobs on the Chronicle kind of cure that a little bit. But I did also notice that the squarer profile is definitely apparent on that tire.
Right on. So we're under... I was just going to say, we're learning about your new Corvus build with the tires. You got anything else up your sleeve for next season?
Oh, we've got several projects in the works. Working on other frame sizes, Arlen-branded cockpit and speakers. We are doing some very slight tweaks to our carbon rim to allow tire seating a little easier. It's fine when you're in the shop. It's a little difficult trail side, so we're modifying that slightly. It'll still be tubeless, just like we've been doing since 2009.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah, and the super secret triathlon recumbent trike fat bike, we probably shouldn't even have mentioned that. So let's just move.
Yeah, that one is we're keeping under wraps. Everybody's doing gravel bike now, and that is already tired. So we're going to do a chip steel specific bike, and it's going to be 650A. 650B is already tired.
Right, so. Right. And we need a new standard. We haven't had one for a few weeks. Excellent.
Can't ride it on gravel though.
No, of course not. Come on. Well, so I misrepresented that. I thought your bike, when I first saw it, I immediately thought of Jeff Gilmore up there in Fairbanks because he has the Tupps Becker bag that's in this Best of Both Worlds Van Halen album cover thing that your bike is, and it turned out to be your bike.
Yeah, exactly. That's Eddie's guitar from back in the day.
So is that the only rock and roll band that you get in Alaska? The only two guys I know in Alaska, both are Van Halen fans.
Yeah.
Who's not a Van Halen fan? DLR, the best frontman of all time.
I wanted just something flashy and unique. Jeff hooked me up with his buddy up there that could pull that off in short order. And he did a hell of a good job.
Well, cool. We talked to, big names in the industry about their personal bike.
No one bigger than Greg.
No one bigger than Greg. Mainly, we know that you're going to have, you start out with a Corvus frame and fork, and we got a little bit of your rock and roll love with the Van Halen paint job. But I think what's really interesting to me, and maybe some of our viewers, is what you've chosen for the rest of your components. You go to all the big shows, you put out a bunch of bikes, and you ride bikes in the ultimate fat bike playground. So I think it is interesting and illuminating to learn what you've chosen, for instance, what drivetrain you run.
I'll typically run a one by these days, though I set that particular bike up single speed box space for the event. And I mean one by being 1x11 or even 1x10. I've got a few different setups on bikes, but I actually prefer that for winter riding over the summer. I run a 2x10 in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I like carbon bars. I like a flexible carbon or tie seat post. And then we're able to run a crankset with a narrower Q factor than most. So I'll typically set it up with a crank designed for a 170 and be able to put the ring in the right spot. You know, short of that, I'm not too picky. We're almost exclusively grip shift and mechanical disc brakes. We'll set up a show bike with some flashy hydraulic brakes, but in reality, 99.9% of the bikes we do have mechanicals because they just work.
Yeah, Fat Bike Radio is all about reality.
Reality TV.
Reality.
Radio.
This is like real people and stuff.
So are you running different tires, or you run your Sterling the majority of the time?
Yeah, I like to try out different products. And right now I've got a set of the Maxxis on, and I haven't got to spend that much time on them. So
yeah, I just got ours.
I'll be real interested to see how they do in snow. They look like they'll roll fast and corner fairly well. Another one that looks promising too is this Jumbo Gym that Schwalbe is releasing.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah.
There'll be lots of great options this year for sure.
Yep, we're looking forward to more tire choices.
Absolutely, the Maxxis Mammoths, the 26x4. That tire I think is going to be successful. We kind of have a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I've got on right now.
Ah, okay. That's kind of what I'm saying is attack of the tire clones. Everybody's kind of flowing into that Dillinger V pattern that has almost a continuous knob around it, which makes it pretty low rolling resistance and seems to be good in the dirt anyway.
I'm a lazy cyclist. I like low rolling resistance.
Low rolling resistance.
Greg, when you have your bike more for adventure racing, what do you use for bags? How do you store gear and that type of thing?
Well, it kind of depends on what the trip involves. I of course have the frame bag, and we've got bags from Revelate is what I typically got on, but Tufts is doing the custom bag for the Corvus, so we'll be rocking that. Nice. On the VH bike. And I alternate between a rear rack and a seat bag, depending on what I'm carrying.
Okay.
They both have their advantages. The rear rack is very practical, just being able to strap stuff to it. I've even set up GoPro mounts on a telescoping leg from a tripod off of the rear rack to get a little bit different view. So if I'm carrying a pack raft and a life vest and things like that, I'll just throw a rear rack on to the GZ. You know, you can strap a 12-pack of beer to it. You can do whatever you need.
Sure.
So that's probably what I'll be running Here in 3 weeks, we are chartering out of Cordova out to Kiglet Lodge. We are going to be exploring the Seal River up into Vitus Lake, which is at the foot of the Bering Glacier, the second largest glacier in North America.
Sounds awesome.
And then heading down to the Siyou for some silver fishing.
Awesome.
So looking forward to that.
Is that the Lost Coast trip? Is that the...
It is.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to call some plays and draw me some diagrams about how to carry a raft, because I just my alpaca raft should be on its way to me right now. So I'm gonna be trying out.
Well,
they're
pretty small. I would say that you can pack it up to be about the size of a 3-man tent.
Mm-hmm.
You get the carbon fiber paddle, you can get that whole setup pretty small. So it can either it can hang off the bars, or you can just strap it to your rear rack.
Yeah.
But yeah, not bad at all.
So for using a seat bag versus, it sounds like the rack is definitely versatile in a lot of situations. What would you use a seat bag for more than a rack?
If I wasn't carrying a pack raft, and I would, you were stuffing light things in, say, down coat, food, things like that, the seat bag is nice.
Sure. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to just release from the bike. In fact, he's got Rebel 8's got a design that the dry bag unclips, so you don't even have to take the mount off of the seat or the post. And you can just carry it in to wherever you're headed.
Right. Yeah, that modular system is nice.
Nice and quick.
The pack raft's not going to fit in there.
Sure.
But, lighter weight things.
Gotcha. Because that was always my thought, is where do I put my sleeping arrangements, which I usually put in my handlebar bag when I have that pack raft on board as well. So it sounds like the rack is going to be the solution for that, and I'll be able to carry everything.
Yeah, it's you could go either way. I bet the weight is similar, depending on how soft the sand is that you're riding in. We time the tides right, we'll be able to ride on fairly firm ground for a while, and then once we cross the Seal River, the trip is long enough that you're going to get pinched off and have to ride in the soft stuff. In the past, we've climbed up the bluff and gotten into the grass, because that's a little more firm. If things are relatively firm, it doesn't matter how you distribute the weight. So whatever's easiest to hook up for you.
Cool. So this is your last chance to come clean about your recumbent triathlon fat bike.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, it's going to be a hub drive electric 60, and that's as far as I'm going. Yeah.
Had me at fixie.
You added in the electric.
Yeah. Just get your skinny jeans out and be ready to go.
Well, cool, man. I the next time that we see you, we will drink a quality craft beer in the desert out there at Interbike.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, that's thirsty work out there,
Indeed. All right, Greg.
And another one that's on deck is my cyclocross fit bike.
Man,
all day over those beers now.
The truth serum is working on you now. All right, man. We'll keep it real. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Greg.
Yeah, good to be here.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
You can either eat this pine cone, get slapped in the face with this dildo, or listen to this weekly dose of fat.
The first story on our weekly dose this week is about my Christmas shopping list. I know what I want Santa to bring me, because our amigos over there at Bike Rumor had a story about a Ritchie Carbon Bull Moose handlebar stem combo. I know, Colin, you had strong feelings about this.
Strong.
The stem's too long.
You were like, that's the gayest thing I've ever seen.
But there's a lot of sweep in it, though, so it's pulling you back to the center line.
Well, and you can't adjust the turn on the bars, you know, to be however...
Stick it in the oven. It'll bend.
Don't try this at home, kids.
It looks pretty kick-ass.
Buy one. Torch it. Do it.
Gomez put a picture of it on our show notes so we can all see what it looks like. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, you'll be seeing that on Otis sometime later, because I'm serious. Buy that for me for Christmas. Mom, come on.
When he's sitting on the dock of the bay, Otis will be wearing
a bull moose. Bull moose handlebar.
So we had a live report last week from Single Speed World Championships, and the aftermath of the championships, it's all covered in Prince's song called Controversy. I've read many a blog, and we've actually put a fairly positive one without much bitching and complaining in it in the show notes there. But I actually spoke to we had good friends who attended, and Spinner was there when
Hi, Spinner,
the MTBR blogger, and somewhat, you know, he's put in a place of he is their editorial. Point of the spear.
So that means work.
This is the angry single speeder that we speak of. And Greg, you said you had read on the Bike Magazine blog, right?
There was one of the blogs, yeah, I think it was Bike, that may have been the same story, actually.
I gotta say, though, angry single speeder did truck it up there in a Yukon he bought for $500 right the week before.
So I'm not trying to attack angry single speeder, but no. What I guess I'm calling for peace and love. Or that's understanding, enough. Because what Spinner related to me was is that they did make people wait until 3 a.m. at a dive bar to get this bead that allowed them to race the next day at Kincaid.
I think the people that are complaining, from what I've noticed, are people who's it was their first time and they haven't been to a single speed Worlds before, or maybe even a single speed USA, to know that these aren't traditional Norba / USA cycling races, right, quote unquote.
I mean,
because as we all know, racing sucks. They're more of an event for getting together, camaraderie. You know what?
Yeah, and
you
got to
go into it knowing
that.
I think
that's the biggest community event in Milwaukee.
Aren't you a 2-time winner of the River West?
Yeah, I won that race because it's all about bragging rights. It's all about just saying, "Oh yeah, those guys over there, I beat them in the River West 24." I'm the best cyclist.
You're such a racer. You're such a racer type.
But, okay, Single Speed USA was my first single speed event. It was awesome, but there was a table that you walked up to and got a number and got a fucking t-shirt and went on your merry way. And that's more traditional. I'm sure these guys are just looking for that so they could rest up the next day or next night and crush it, you know. But, party.
Yeah. What Spinner related to me is that DJ wanted to go back to the old school way of the very first single speed world championships in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That the reason I built my first single speed was because I read those stories about the dumpster fire and about the derbying, and I was like, damn, I want to be a part of that. So I think that there's a lesson to be learned here for fat biking, and it's pretty much covered by a Mexican phrase. I'm fond of the Mexican phrases, as you might know. And this Mexican phrase is no mames, which literally means don't suck. So let's not suck. Let's just have fun. And if you go to an event that is one of these social races, got to have a laid-back attitude.
I think that's a great category to add to our calendar, is social race.
Social race.
Or pansy race, which would be the other kind of race.
Perfect example of a social race is Gnome Fest. No one goes to Gnome Fest thinking that there's two races.
Whatever.
That are completely all about
races.
Fun.
There's the dwarf cycle race.
I almost won that one.
And there's the dirt cat, man.
Yeah.
And you gotta love anything named after the kitty cat.
Kitty cat.
So
that's single speed worlds.
Right.
I think
that's
pretty much be
worlds in a nutshell.
So next up, I got
Marty.
Twin Six. Our amigo Jesse does testing for us, rocks the BKB, and races like he's from the planet.
I think he won
single speed USA champion. Winner.
Right, right. So Jesse, he has designed a freaking fat bike now, and Twin Six is going to be a fat bike maker. So we had...
That makes 51 fat bike builders now.
51?
51?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, it is. I'd think more like 71.
Yeah, it could be 71. It's the year of the fat bike, folks.
So we're going to have either Brant or Jesse on next week's show to talk about the standard fat. I think they're going to decide. They're going to Indian leg wrestle. And my money is on, I don't know, Brant's awfully tall, but Jesse's the big badass. I don't know. What do you think, JK? Who's got it?
Seven.
Good answer.
We did a little checking around the internet web thing last week for some of our blogs that we like to follow, and I just wanted to put some links in the show notes for you all, and we'll just give a couple shout-outs to Coast Kid, Scottish guy.
Scotland!
He's from Scotland. If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
That's Bruce Matheson.
Bruce Matheson. That guy is the most prolific blogger as a single guy doing a blog, I think, of anything fat bike oriented by a long ways. He'd had several posts last week. You can check those out. It's both on a Pug or a Moonlander or a 29 plus Krampus. He rides all these as well as other bikes too, but check him out.
When's he going to get a truck?
They even have trucks in England yet?
Bruce, I think come on
they
the
call
show.
Them, they can't call them trucks. They call them lorries. It's like the ice cream lorry. Our friends at Cycle Monkey had an article on belt drive versus chain drive. I know that some of you may have read some stuff about that before, but they do a really good job of breaking down the pros and cons of both and even how to convert an existing bike into a belt drive if you're so inclined.
And Cycle Monkey has a new ad on the site about a sale on the new 170 roll-offs. So if you're looking to build a roll-off bike on using that 170, now's the time.
Saves a significant amount of money. Those things are...
Click and save at fatbike.com.
You can follow Cyclo Monkey on Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram, too.
We're on
Hashtag
Instagram now.
#fatbike.com with no punctuation.
And it's D-O-T.
With the D-O-T. So it's F-A-T.
D-O-T.
Fat dot. Fatbike.com.
Guys, I haven't hashtag anything today.
Fatbike.com, all spelled out with letters.
I'm gonna have a sip of beer.
It's so simple.
Beer break.
Back to simpler times.
Back to simpler times. And simpler bites.
Simpler bands.
JK's snorting again.
Easier to corrupt.
Get ready, JK. Your line's coming up, man.
You know, check in with our friend Joe Boo on his blog. There's another link in the show notes to that. He's got his kids out there on fat bikes, and they're barely tall enough to ride 20-inchers, and they're on fat bikes. It's really cool.
That's cool. And we should, we've talked about this kids' bike. We actually have the kids' bike. It's assembled. It's in the test kitchen. It's from Framed Bikes of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is, you know, they have their Minnesota 2.0 and 3.0 frames. This is the Minnesota, and it's a 24-inch wheeled fat bike that we'll be putting some kids on and let them get rad. I already let some of the neighborhood kids ride it around, and Uncle Gomez is king of the neighborhood.
King of the neighborhood.
For now.
Finally, you can check in on Death Rider's blog for a report on the Duluth Fat Bike Tour that we mentioned a few shows back. It sounds like there were some really tired but happy folks up there, and I got to tell you, Duluth looks like a kick-ass place to ride a fat bike, apparently, even in the summer.
Let's take a field trip to Duluth this year.
We could do our next show from Duluth.
Well, speaking of that, Single Speed USA, we're going to be doing a show maybe from there. Ooh, and Gnome Fest, we should do it. No show from Gnome Fest. Oh, hell God. Yeah.
Can we do it in the middle of the night?
Hell yeah.
That would sound like the part two of the Single Speed Worlds interview.
That never made the air, but it's freaking hilarious.
I can put it up there for you.
So speaking of, you know, like big, important, cool stuff, we have a contest going. And it's called the Dog Days of Summer Fat Photo Video Lotto Contest.
It's a lot of words.
Three ways to win and three prize packages. First of all, you can send a fat photo to show your dog and you enjoying the fat bike lifestyle. And you can do a video, which is probably even better, you know, because then the dog actually moves and you can make him talk and stuff. And the other way is the next five shows, all of the August shows, the dog days of summer, we'll be giving you a secret word. This week's secret word is yodel.
Yodel.
And
ole, ole, ole,
all you have to do is at the end of
Slim Whitman,
of the contest, once we get into September, you put all of those into an email, send them to me. All the details will be in a post about the contest, but...
That's Gomez at fatbike.com.
Sorry, I had to call.
So that was Gomez at fatbike.com as well.
not your email.
Turning my head and coughing. So all the details about the contest will be
balls as well?
In the show notes and in a separate post. And can be, if you speak snortalese, J.K. Lemon's got you covered.
There it is, right on cue. That was good.
So all you have to do is get all five words, and then no doubt we'll pick one out of the winners. So three winners. It's going to be awesome. Surly sponsors the show. We got Surly rims. We got Surly rim strips. We got Surly patches. We got Surly underwear. And, you know,
we got all sorts other of things. Stuff. So two of these actually require a little talent. One requires no talent except listening to the show, which I grant you takes some perseverance, but no talent at all.
Exactly. It's our way of torturing you through the month of August.
Yes. Torture.
Up next on Fat Bike Radio, Gomez chats with two members of Bike Black Ribbon Society about Gnome Fest 11.
Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, I have the pleasure of introducing two of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Cale Wenther and Spinner Ryerson. They're going to fill us in on Gnome Fest 11.
Hey guys, this is Spinner. Hey guys, how's it going, Gomez? How's it going, Spinner?
So, none of you guys want to talk to the ladies? Just guys. Come on, man. Ladies and gentlemen, the Spinner Ryerson. So, just a little background. Cale is a Bike Black Ribbon test pilot, lives out in San Diego, but used to live in Wisconsin, and is a four-term mayor of Gnome Fest. Spinner is also Bike Black Ribbon test pilot, and also, coincidentally, Single Speed USA champion, part-time Viking, and the mayor of this year's Gnome Fest, which is Gnome Fest 11. So maybe the first thing we should do is tell our listeners a bit about Gnome Fest. And since, Cale, you're the four-time mayor, I'm going to shoot it to you.
All right. Thanks, Gilman. I kind of fell into Gnome Fest a bit by accident. Came up on Gnome Fest 2, because I believe the first Gnome Fest, correct me if I'm wrong, only had 15-20 people at it?
No, it actually had 60 people at it, the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was unaware. I think it was about the same the first year that I came up, and loved it so much that, I had to get involved and see what we could do to make it even better and bring a bit more party to the party, if you will.
Yeah, man, it was... When you got involved, you brought a whole new influx of fixed gear riders into the mix with a bunch of mountain bikers, and the whole Minneapolis cycling community came out. It was big time, and has become bigger big time. It's just such an awesome party.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, everything from the dwarf cycle figure eight death race, to the dirt cat, to the beer pool. I mean, every year we've tried to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, but it's just hard to explain. So what would you tell people, Spinner, about Gnome Fest?
The fun that I've had, of course, I've broken some bikes at Gnome Fest. I have won some cones at Gnome Fest and lost a lot of dignity at Gnome Fest. It's been quite the ride, let me tell you that.
Well, I can just say, well, except for the breaking bike part, ditto. Oh, I did run over my bike with my car at Gnome Fest once.
I remember that quite well.
You saved my butt with a set of wheels. I just get so excited. The 5 minutes before I'm driving there before Gnome Fest, I'm probably legally insane about how excited I am about getting there and getting knee deep in the fun. So.
Oh, absolutely. Every year, same deal. dinner. What do you have planned? What's going to be different and new and maybe more of the same this year for Gnome Fest?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start out that this year's Gnome Fest, for the first time of coming to Platteville or Platteville, Wisconsin. It's going to be at the Hirsch Farm, which is a privately owned farm. So it's not something you can ride all the time. It's not something you can just go and see these trails. These trails are owned by Mark Hirsch, and there's over 12 miles of trails that have a pretty long history. It actually kind of started in the 1990s. And if you're familiar with Cora and Macross and some of the things they did with those trails, it's in the same Mississippi River Valley. So the riding is great. There's also a very large party prairie, Chronicle Blockhouse Festival every year. If you had any chance to attend the Blockhouse Roll, that's where it's held at the Hirsch Park and Plateau every year. The registration is open, GnomeFest11.blogspot.com. You can search on Facebook for GnomeFest11 or BikesReg.com under GnomeFest11. So we kind of
And we'll put those links in the show notes so people can check it out and click right through. So
perfect.
I know what one of the things that people will be really interested in is that you're giving away a Surly ice cream truck, right?
Yes, we are awarding a Surly ice cream truck. Depending on what Surly's what has in stock, it might be there, it might not, so we might need to follow up. Yeah, that'll be one of the big...
Yeah, I mean, I know every single year, without fail, almost everybody who wants something walks away with a prize. We never lack the swag at Gnome Fest, that is for sure.
That's for sure.
Yep.
And
we'll be swagging it up.
There'll also be a 1-Up USA rack.
Yes.
You'll be giving away.
Rack. Yep, 1-Up USA is actually based out of Platteville.
Right on, yeah, so. Absolutely. And what about
the fact that I learned today, actually, one of the engineers, so UW-Platteville has an engineering school. One of those engineers actually started the first bike shop in Platteville, Jeff Balta, and then he went on to SRAM, and his latest project was the Blue Dole Fork.
Wow.
He worked on that for SRAM.
That's pretty cool. So how about the burning bike? Is that going to happen?
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. There's been a lot of discussion about how we're actually going to make it work, but yeah, we're building a giant bike, and we will burn it.
Oh.
And it's going to be awesome. That's going to
kill. So it's Saturday night, big party. Everybody brings a 6 or 12 pack of awesome beer. We put it in baby pools covered in ice. We drink all night. We're going to burn a bike. It's going to be so badass. So, and Friday night.
Absolutely.
We usually have a keg party, and whose beer are we drinking on Friday night?
There will absolutely be Lakefront Brewery. Colin has confirmed that he's bringing that. Also very close to Blau, it's right between New Glarus. So I don't know if anybody likes Spotted Cow. Does anybody like Spotted Cow? I don't know. I like Spotted Cow.
I like Spotted Cow. And everybody from Illinois likes Spotted Cow.
I think it's a proven fact that everybody will get Spotted Cow, especially people from Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And then on the other side of Platteville is Potosi Brewery. They have Stick Hollow, K-Vale, Stindier back. So we'll be getting some of that too.
Cool. That's pleasant surprise. Thanks for joining us, guys. Really appreciate it. I look forward to Gnome Fest every year. It's like a big family reunion.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, thanks for having us on, Gomez.
All right, man.
I was just going to mention one more time that if you want to bring spandex, it should be costume-based. Not racing based. That's the only
extra. Your full Astana kit with the yellow jersey, nothing less.
Skin suit, don't make that.
Yeah, skin suit, extra small. All right, dudes. Thanks for calling. We'll see you later.
Absolutely. Talk to you later, guys.
Well, last up in the weekly dose here, we have kind of a sad thing. We just want to say rest in peace to Tom Teasdale. I know a lot of my good friends have bikes made by this man, and I've known about him. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I know Greg as a good friend of his. So just rest in peace, Tom.
Yeah, it was a shocking thing. I was at my trip west, and I got a call from his son, John. I was at the saddle drive show. I was expecting just business calls because that's typically what we would do. We'd talk about business on the phone. And it was news that Tom had passed away on Ragbri. He was doing what he loved to do. He was riding on the big bike ride across Iowa and just laid down in a ditch and never got out of the ditch. But I know if you are in the cycling industry at all, or even if you're a cyclist that's just on the fringes, you probably have at least heard of Tom.
You're an old school mountain biker. You definitely heard of this dude.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff early on in his career, helping guys like Gary Fisher do his first run of Philip Braised Mount Tams, and he helped Terry Precision get going. He helped a lot of people in their early careers as manufacturers when production was still able to be done in the United States, at least up to a certain point, and then they'd get bigger and they'd go overseas and they'd get their, you know, their millions of dollars. And Tom was never about the money. In fact, I think he was probably the worst businessman I know besides myself. But he was an awesome frame builder, and he always took time. I'd stop by there regularly unannounced, and he'd just take time to sit and talk and, you know, go over ideas. And I'm really going to miss him. He was a one-of-a-kind guy, and I think the cycling community lost a really great person when Tom passed away. So R.I.P. Tom.
I got to go into that shop once with Sven on a trip down to Iowa when I was building my fat bike. Mm-hmm. the first time, you know. And that shop was, it looked like it had been occupied for the last 45 years.
It was only 38, but yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, perfectly grimy. There was just parts of frames and dropouts and random projects that you've seen started but not finished everywhere. And it was, you know, lots of, you know, dark grease and welding stuff. And
it was a working man's shop.
It was, yeah, it was very, sure. Very, I don't know. Just to be able to see that just once and meet the man, only once, was enough for me. And seeing what everyone has to say about this dude really makes me realize what a frame building legend that guy was. So rest in peace, Tom.
Rest in peace, Tom.
Well, that just about does it, folks. I guess you wasted another morning commute or wherever else you listened to our show this week.
Before we sign off this week, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, the one and only Bad to the Bone Funk Soul Brothers of Surly Bikes.
Shoot, man. I ride a Surly Necromancer from the gates of hell.
Hot damn! Check out Surly Bikes at surlybikes.com.
Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to our special guests, Greg Mateus from Fat Bat Bikes y Los Vatos del Hombres, Kale y Spinner.
Tune in to next week's show when we'll have special guests Brant and or Jesse from Twin Six, along with all the hottest news and products from around the Fat Bike Global Takeover.
Say bye.
Adios, amigos.
Let's go ride. Wait, but first, let me take a selfie and put it on to Instagram.
Hashtag fatbike.com. All spelled out. No hyphens, no periods. It's FATBIKEDOTCOM.
And you can find The Weekly Dose along with all other Fat Bike Radio programming on iTunes, and look for us on Facebook, now Instagram, and Twitter.
E-Twitter.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's Weekly Dose of Fat. Find us on the web at fatbike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.